Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
But right now, we say good afternoon to Dave Archer, analyst for our Atlanta Falcons, brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, experts you can trust. And Arch, there were some good things that happened last night for our ball club, but I think a lot of people are focused on the things that were not good. And I want to start with the O-line with you in your assessment of what you saw last night. Do you think people are overreacting to what we saw, or is this a real concern as we continue through the preseason?
Well, I'm sure there's an overreaction, Carl. That's usually the case when it comes to fans. There's no question about that. But there were some concerns, certainly, in the game. The thing you got to look at when you evaluate offensive line play is a guy getting beat because he's being attacked with a certain technique or a certain scheme that they could fix through practice. Remember, there was no game planning for this game, and Greg Williams likes to come after you. So they brought 5- and 6-man pressures most of the game, and Atlanta did not sort it out as good as they needed to, obviously, with Ryan being pressured 9 times and sacked 3 times. The other parts you look at, and the one that concerns you, is a guy getting beat physically. And that happened a couple of times to Tyson Brella last night. So that's the part that concerns you some, is that his weight is too high, or is his base not good enough, or is he just physically getting run over? And that happened to him a couple times in the game. Now he's got a couple weeks here to kind of sort that out if he can, but I don't know if the physical part of it can be fixed. And that's the real crux of the thing, and it'll be the work of the coaches and stuff to see if they can figure that out. Jamon Brown is physically a giant man. He's 6'4", 340 pounds, and he got pushed a couple times, and I thought his pad level was too high. Quinnen Williams got underneath his pad level one time and drove him back into the quarterback. I think he could fix that from a technique standpoint. So that's the evaluation when you look at offensive line. You got to look at scheme and technique. Is there a problem there? And was he getting beat up physically and just being dominated? And there was a couple of yeses probably in both categories.
It is our man Dave Archer with us here. Him and Wes Drewham with the call, guys. It seems like this preseason is just taking forever, Arch. And, you know, the Sombrero thing gets compounded because it's not Caleb McGarry's fault. It is what it is. But, I mean, as soon as they get the clearance, is he still going to have to, you know, beat out Sombrero in a competition to win that job?
Well, he's going to have to prove, Mike, that he can get back up to speed with where he was in camp. And you were out there, and so was Carl, and you saw that Caleb was making great strides during camp, that he had begun to even the playing field against the veteran player in Sombrero. So it obviously is an indication of his talent and his ability to play, and that's why they jumped up in the first round to draft and give Thomas a ton of credit for going and doing that. So they recognized that he could maybe make some quick growth and challenge for the job. So now, can he still do that when he comes back? What kind of shape is he going to be in? I mean, obviously, we're talking about the heart, so you have no idea from a cardiovascular shape scenario what he's in. What is he able to do?
Right.
I don't know that. Maybe you guys do, but
no.
So from that perspective, you look at it and say, okay, if he can ramp it up pretty quickly and get back to where he was, because he'd worked out really hard. You guys interviewed him. He talked about all the things that he was doing wrong in the OTAs that he really tried to work on in the off season. So when he came to camp, he was ready to roll. Has he lost a lot of that ground that he had gained from OTAs to training camp? If he hasn't, then yeah, he immediately fits in there, and you could see him potentially start when he comes back. But I think it's probably going to be a little bit more of the former, where he's going to have to get himself back in shape, and there's going to be a little bit of time here before he can step in and maybe take the role.
It is Dave Archer, guys, brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, experts you can trust, as we talk about the Falcons matchup last night against the Jets. There were some guys who had some drops. How much does that concern you? Because it seems like just yesterday we were talking about Brian Hill and how improved his hands were, and then last night, he drops a wide-open ball, Arch.
Well, there was a couple plays here. Obviously, the two plays that Ryan had, touchdown passes, where he put the ball right on the money as he moved out of the pocket. Got one to Brian Hill. Hill's was kind of a blur drill, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. There's something, a drill that you do in practice a lot of times, where hands are thrown in front of you as the ball passes through. You don't touch the ball, but it kind of blurs your vision. I thought that Brian Hill was hampered a little bit there. He's not an accomplished receiver, but he's certainly a guy that's made a lot of strides since we saw him as a rookie a couple of years ago. And he made a touchdown catch, a couple of weeks ago in the Hall of Fame game. So he certainly has the ability to do it, and I think it was just a matter of being in a position where he got blurred a little bit, and it just not as accomplished as he wants to be yet. And so I think that that's just a matter of catching a lot more balls and continue to work on his craft. Justin Hardy doesn't drop passes. That's right. The part that shocked me was Justin Hardy's got as good a hands as anybody on the team, and his was just a lack of focus. He thought he had it. You know, it's one of those deals where we've seen it. Some of the best in the, you know, Julio Jones has done it, where the ball hits him right in the chest and he just doesn't look it in. Those two guys, if they are on the team, and I think both those guys are probably in position to make the club and contribute, I don't worry about either one of them, especially Justin Hardy. That's what he does, is go catch balls. And if you look later on in the game, he made an outstanding contested catch later on in the game for Schaub or whoever it was he was in the game with. So I'm not worried about that.
It's Dave Archer with us, brought to you by ESOG, breaking down the Falcons and the Jets. What do you think of Isaiah Oliver? There was one play where kind of a back shoulder throw from Sam Darnold where he was not even looking for the ball yet.
Yeah, toughest play there is, Mike, for the corner is this evolution of the back shoulder throw or fade stop, or, you know, it was called, when you go back to the run-and-shoot days, and Carl, you probably remember this, being in Houston when the run-and-shoot was going at a high level. This was something that Warren Moon just wore people out with. He would throw back shoulder to Drew Hill and Ernest Givens and all those guys there in Houston and just wore people out with it. And it's now become a norm. It used to be just a couple of guys did it, but now everybody purposely underthrows, and it used to be called a fade stop. Now it's the back shoulder throw. It's the toughest play for a DB to make because you're trying to shadow and not lose, because if a guy's accelerating up the field, you got to get in his hip pocket and run. And if he shuts it down, or if you're not looking back for the ball, which you can't be because you're trying to dig to stay with him, and then all of a sudden the ball's behind you, it's tough. So I think it's just a matter of learning body language, watching tape on receivers. Again, no game planning was done in this game, so when he gets prepared for the Minnesota Vikings, he's going to study Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen and those guys as to what they do and what is some of the common throws they like to make, and then he'll have a pretty good idea. Hey, they like to run the back shoulder here. I got to be aware of that. This guy can't run by me. I'm physically faster than he is. Those are the kind of things you get out of game planning and watching tape. I think he'll be fine.
On the defensive side, Arch, I thought Trufant played really well last night. And, you know, I think, again, this is a small sample of what I've been able to see with camp, but I think he's been comfortable. Mike and I spoke with him earlier as camp started. You know, he talked about the birth of his child. I think he's comfortable, and I don't know what that means for him, but, you know, what are you seeing with True?
Well, I think it's a good analogy, Carl. I think that he's a guy that's very, like you said, comfortable. I think he's relaxed. I don't think he's uptight. I thought he played uptight last year. He was afraid he was going to make a mistake and subsequently didn't catch the football when it was thrown his way. All those things we saw happen last year. He made two plays last night that were difference-making type plays. He came across the formation. They ran a Nuno across the formation, the wide receiver, and then bootlegged to that side he was motioning to and got him in the flat real quick on fourth down. This was a play where Trufant had to mirror him on the other side of the line of scrimmage all the way across the formation and get through traffic to get there, and he did. He was in perfect position. I thought his veteran savvy came through, but because, again, these are plays that you go back into your memory bank because you haven't been watching tape on the Jets. You haven't paid any attention to what they do. So this was just something he went into his veteran memory bank and said, okay, this guy's motioning across the formation. They're going to try to get him the ball in the flat quickly for a first down. I've got to be right there. And he was. He was there and made a sure tackle in the open field. And they tried to do the same thing to him again. They ran a shallow drag route from one side of the field to the other. And True came from all the way across the field to make a tackle on third down to get the Falcons off the field. So I think True's playing a lot of confidence. I think that I think he's really relished, guys, his ability to kind of be the veteran in the room. Now, he's 28 years old, still a young man.
Right.
But look at the room of guys he's with. There's a whole bunch of young guys in there, and they're all looking to him. And I think he's relished that leadership quality that he's had in him as kind of bringing it to the forefront.
We also had KZ go out with what looks to be a rib injury, waiting for more information on that. Sheffield got hurt, so all of a sudden you get a little thin in the nickel, you could argue. Arch, bringing it back to Ryan, we were starting the show, and we're not trying to be melodramatic and be like typical sports talk hype, but you see other starters, you know, sitting out the preseason. Yeah, with the hits Matt was taking, and there were some big hits last night. I don't know if I want to see him out there, at least for what he would probably do in week four, which everyone else is week three.
Well, your assessment is good, Mike. I think that everybody was scared for Matt and all that kind of stuff. I talked to Matt for about 10 minutes after we interviewed him last night. He said, man, I loved being in there. He said it was good to take some shots. He said, I really needed that. He says, you go through a preseason and you're in practice and they're not allowed to touch you, and you forget how to use your body how to use some of the hits to help propel the ball down the field. Because you do, you absorb hits, and it helps propel your arm. I don't know. Believe me, I have no idea how it works. I did it myself. It's interesting how you can use force coming at you that helps get the ball out. But you do, and you get used to eating helmets and those type of things. He made a throw last night in a blitz that was a mid-season throw. He made two throws that stuck out to me, guys. It was the throw where he got hit right in the mouth as he let it go to Ridley. He waited and waited in the pocket, and he hit Ridley on a deep over route. It was a big play in the game on third down. I think it was third and eight or third and nine on the play and extended the drive. And then the play where he gets blitzed off his right side. They've got two untouched rushers coming out off the right side. And Ito Smith's got a free release, meaning he doesn't have to block anybody out in the right flat, and he's going to turn up the field. And Ryan had to let it go well before Ito ever got there. Mm-hmm. And so he had to hang it and drop it down the chimney chute, give Ito Smith a ton of credit for finding it and locating it. But it was an unbelievable throw, so difficult to throw. And I asked him about that, and he's got a big smile on his face. He says, yeah, that was a pretty good one. That was a pretty good one. So I think he really liked the contact last night. Yes, we don't want him getting hit around the legs. We prefer him not having knocked to the ground 10 times. But I think that he needed a little bit of that. Now they're going to have to gauge how much more he's going to see in the preseason.
Arch, I'm worried about Giorgio Tavecchio. Should I be?
Well, I mean, I think all of us that watch Matt Bryant kick all these years, that was been 10 years, guys, that he's just been kind of automatic, you know. And so Giorgio struggled a bit. It looked like maybe the first one was tipped. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt on the first one, and maybe it got a finger on it. I couldn't tell. Then he had one that was wide left that he's got a knockdown. So I think there's concern there. We do have a couple more preseason games for him to kick. He's the only kicker in camp. I almost wonder, guys, and you've been out there, I almost wonder if he's kicking too much. I watch him, and he's kicking the ball a ton out there. And I know Bryant was an older player, but he really kind of picked and chose when he was kicking. And
right.
You like to see this guy relax a little bit, know he's got the ability, and Matt, maybe not over-prepare to get ready for these games, because I think he's got the ability to do it. And I think all of us are concerned, but I think we got some time to figure it out.
When the roof is open, Arch, does it create a breeze? I'll hang up and listen.
Don't listen to him. Hey, Arch,
only when you were in the building is there a wind.
Hot air.
Hey, have a great weekend. Thanks so much for jumping on with us.
Good to be with you guys. Take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.